Okay, we're just going to have a very short, not even a class, just a short exposition about Lord Shiva. But first, I wanted to chant the prayers of the Lord to sing it, because we are praying for all these devotees and everybody in Ukraine and Russia. So I think it's very important every day. You know, I've been praying all the time, of praying, and we're working on trying to help the devotees there. So it's at the forefront of my consciousness. So we ask you all to keep it at the forefront of your consciousness too. We have something like 10,000 devotees in Ukraine, some of whom are staying in the country and some of whom have left. There's been about 1,300,000 people who have left the country so far. And we actually pray for a quick end to all the problems, without finding fault on either side, because we have devotees in Russia, and if we find fault with the Russian side, then the devotees in Russia will be in trouble. So we just want to pray for peace between everybody, and everybody understand the peace formula this Krishna mentions: Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Getvabam Shantim Richati. To understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. We are not these bodies. We are not Americans, Russians, Indians, or any of those things. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam, of all austerities, Krishna is the enjoyer. Sarva Loka Maheshram, he's the Lord of everybody. Every religion calls God by a different name. Suridam Sarvabhutanam, he's a friend of everybody. So remember that. So he doesn't like it when anyone gets attacked or hurt or deviated from spirituality. Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Richati. That's the peace formula. Otherwise, unless we follow that, there will always be conflicts between person and person, man and wife, country and country, village and village, football team and football team. So we want people to love each other, but understanding that we're all connected through the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So we're going to chant the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev just to start off this class, which will be very short, because we're going to finish by 5:30 so we can see the dance performances, which have been put on and guided by Champakalata. And we're really looking forward to that. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Balarada Toyane. Hiranyakashi Purvakshaka. Jila Tampa. Kolaye Tuna Singha Paratuna Singha Yato Yato Yami Tuna Singha Bakina Singha Ritaya in a singo. The singamatin, Sharanam Brahma Joy. The singamatin, Sharanam Brahma Joy. I'm gonna come and love and pray. Come on, good to sing. Karita, Iranya Kasi Putanu bring. A Savatrita, Narahari Rupa, Gaira Dari Sade. Gaira Dari Sade. Saturday.
I've got a job, my life is great. I come up with the thing now. Got a job, eat on your jazzy food. It's a battery top, not a hoodie roof up. Quite a goodie someday. Quite a goodie someday. Quite a goodie someday. Got a dumb love away. String a day, a string a day, a string a day, a string a day. I am the Lord my God, the Lord my God, the Lord my God, I am the Lord my God. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jai Om Vishnupad. Hanumahamsa Paravitakacharya, also Teta, Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalanana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai. Prem Seikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadhar Srivati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopatna Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadasami Kijai Yamunamaya Kijai Srimati Lasa Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Haribol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Gauranga, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Padanta Swami Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha, Sanyavadi Paschatade Jitarani, Omagana Tivadanda Shaganjana Shlokaya, Chakshodan Meritam Yena Tasmai, Sri Guru Veda Maha. So we're going to briefly talk about the glories of Lord Shiva. And last week we actually gave quite a long class about Lord Shiva's ontological position, that means who he is. And this is going to be very short with a little slideshow, so it'll be a little more interesting. So this slideshow is called The Glories of Lord Shiva. Actually, I'll forget about the music. I don't like the music. So Lord Shiva is actually non-different from Krishna in one sense. Not in every sense. He's one different, he's non-different and different simultaneously. It's called the Chinchabeta-Beta-Tattva. That Krishna expands himself, as I mentioned yesterday, or last week. Krishna expands himself through the glance of Mahavishnu, and that glance is Shambhu, and Shambhu helps put all the living entities that is ourselves within this material world, and therefore Lord Shiva is our father in a very real sense. So the example given in the Brahma Samhita is something like yogurt and milk. Krishna, Vishnu, is like the milk, and then Lord Shiva is like the yogurt. So he's the greatest devotee, but he has the duty of destroying things, and we hope, now that the world is in such a desperate situation, they don't call for Lord Shiva right now.
We pray that things will be maintained. But he does his Tandavanritya at the time of the cosmic dissolution. In other words, he does his dance, destroys everything. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhutva Bhutla Pralayate. This material world comes into existence, goes out of existence, and comes back into existence again on a regular schedule. So Lord Shiva works on that regular schedule, and he is in charge of the mode of ignorance, although he's not under the mode of ignorance. We can talk a little bit about his qualities. His beauty. So it's described here, his beauty or his body is as fair as a camphor. He has three eyes, crowned with a half moon, holding a graceful, holding a trident, his matted locks holding the Ganges water anointed with ashes, and wearing a necklace of glorious bones. You may wonder what sort of bones around his neck. Those are the bones of great sages, not just ordinary persons. Because the bones of great sages are spiritual. Anything the great sages were connected with throughout their existence in this world is spiritual. It's a remnant. Like if we have Prabhupada's shoes, or even the imprint of Prabhupada's feet that we have before his Vyasa son, that's worshipable. So the bodies of great sages are not burnt usually, but they're put into the ground in samadhis. And in those samadhis are considered worshipable. Now the bodies of ordinary people who are not great sages or great pure devotees, they're cremated. And the reason they're cremated is so that the person can go on without attachment to the body that's still there. But a pure devotee is not attached to this world, and his body is considered, wherever his body is considered a sacred place. So those are the bones around his neck, and his trident is a weapon, Trishura. And last week we told the story of how he caught the Ganges when the Ganges was coming to the earth by the austerities of Bhagirath. And he kept the Ganges within his locks, and the Ganges was so proud that he didn't want to let the Ganges out until Bhagirath prayed to him so the Ganges would come out and flow down to the ocean. So therefore you see the Ganges on Lord Shiva's head as well as the moon, crescent moon on his head. He is the master of the senses, knowledge, fruit of activities, and the path of achieving perfection. He's the friend of everyone, and because of his affection for everyone, he is very auspicious. In fact, the very name Shiva means auspicious. So remember that. And he's also Ashutosh. We mentioned that last week, too. Ashutosh means he's very easily pleased, and he's very easily angered. So how do you please Lord Shiva? You worship Krishna. And how do you offer to, what do you offer to Lord Shiva? You offer him Krishna Prasadam. Like any of you who are from Orissa will understand this particular story that I'm going to tell. Because there is a temple to Lord Shiva in Bhubaneswar. Bhubaneswar is actually called Gupta Kashi. Because Kashi is the basic main location for Lord Shiva. Gupta means hidden. So how they serve the deities there is very interesting. What they do is they offer the food, the bhoga. Bhoga means unoffered food. You don't offer prasadam to Krishna. They offer the bhoga to Lord Jagannath, who is situated in Jagannath Puri, obviously. And then they put the prasadam from Lord Jagannath, and they carry it all the way to Bhubaneswar, which is about 45 minutes away. In a taxi, and they give it to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is very pleased with that. Last week we told the story from the Chaitanya Mangal, how Narada Muni one time got Mahaprasadam, and he ate it all up. And he just had a little bit under his fingernail, which he gave to Lord Shiva. And he didn't know that at first, but Lord Shiva said, look under your fingernails. Then he gave that little bit of Mahaprasadam to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva started dancing in so much ecstasy that he threatened to destroy the whole universe. Finally, Durga had to tell him to stop. and he got angry with her. And she said to him, "Have you saved any Mahaprasadam for me?" And he said to her, you're Maya. Not only are you in Maya, you are Maya. And she said, "I am Vaishnavi. I am a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God." And she performed so many austerities that now we are able to taste Mahaprasadam ourselves. We're going to have a Mahaprasadam feast. Has been offered to the deities. More qualities about Lord Shiva. The goddess Gauri sits on his lap. And actually, if a sage intrudes, or anyone, or a king, intrudes on Lord Shiva while he has Gauri on his lap, that person turns into a lady. There's that story of the Bhagavatam. There was a king with all of his soldiers and all of his horses, and they went into Lord Shiva's forest. And Gauri was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap, and all of a sudden they looked around, they were all ladies. And the horses turned to mares instead of stallions. So you don't want to intrude upon Lord Shiva, especially if you want to keep your male body. So anyway, he's very pleased. Of course, they have their son Ganesh, and he's always filled with devotion for Krishna, who, as we described, is not different from him. He delights his associates with singing and dancing. And even though he's the Lord of the universe, he always worships Lord Sheshanaga with love, as if he were his servant, because he's an expansion of Shesh. So there's many pastimes, some of which I talked about last week. There's the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. And when they churned the milk ocean, one of the products they got was this poison. And Lord Shiva, in order to save the whole universe, he drank the poison, and he has a blue throat, Nilakanta, as a result of that. But that's his compassion, self-sacrifice for everyone's benefit. He took the whole quantity of poison, as we see here in the picture, and drank it. And then he's also known as Tripurari, which means the annihilator of this demon, Tripurasura's three dwellings that used to float in the air, and he burnt all these dwellings to ashes. Then there's the story, which I told last week, which I'm not going to get into, between Lord Shiva and Krishna over Banasura's daughter. Banasura's daughter, of course, was Usha, and she was in love with Aniruddha, which is Krishna's grandson. And what happened is Banasura, who was a devotee of Lord Shiva, had 1,000 arms. I'll just tell it quickly again. He had 1,000 arms, and he got very upset because he found his daughter with her boyfriend. Nowadays, it's just like, well, boyfriends, you know. It's like I do preaching at the university, talking to people at the university, and all the girls have boyfriends, the boys have girlfriends, you know, just like, well, whatever. So I can't protect anybody. Imagine someone says, "Here's my boyfriend." Ah, capture him. So that's what... It's an inside story. Banasura, he captured Aniruddha. And then when Lord Krishna heard about this, he actually came with his whole army, and they started to attack Banasura, and Lord Shiva tried to fight against Krishna. And basically what happened is eventually Lord Shiva, he fired his Shiva Jwara, which is a very hot weapon, very, very hot weapon that annihilates everything. And Vishnu fired his Vishnu Dwara, which is a very cold weapon, and he almost extinguished Lord Shiva's weapon. And Vishnu won. But this, you may say, well, why was Lord Shiva opposed to Lord Vishnu or Krishna? This is a pastime between friends. Just like friends, they'll sometimes play some game in which their opponents, just like before the class, I had a chess match with someone, and I won. But it's not... He conceded. So sometimes people who you're close to, you actually have these chivalrous exchanges with. So Lord Shiva has this chivalrous relationship with Krishna. It's not that he became Krishna's enemy. And because Banasura was Prahlad Maharaj's great-grandson, he didn't get killed at that point. He just had most of his arms chopped off, except for four of them. And then Lord Shiva still protects him. So anyone who remembers Lord Shiva will never meet defeat. Remember that, either spiritually or materially. If you remember Lord Shiva, you will never meet defeat in this world. So this is the story that I just told. It's described that Jiva Dwara was overwhelmed by the strength of the Vishnu Dwara, cried out in pain. But finding no refuge, Lord Shiva's weapon approached Lord Krishna, and he got his shelter. And then there's the other story of Vrikasura, which we told before. Vrikasura was the demon who actually tried to kill Lord Shiva because he got a benediction that whoever's head, he got a benediction from Lord Shiva that whosoever head he touched was split into millions of pieces, and he tried to use it on Lord Shiva, and then Vishnu had to intercede by tricking the demon. Told that story last week. And there's a benediction of Vrikasura where he got that benediction, and then Lord Vishnu saved him. And there's the sacrifice of Daksha, another story from the Bhagavatam, that Daksha offended Lord Shiva, and actually, because of Daksha's offenses to Lord Shiva, Daksha's wife, Sati, left this world in a yogic trance. And Lord Shiva became so angry, he pressed his lips with teeth, immediately snatched from his head a strand of hair which blazed like electricity or fire. He stood up at once, laughing like a madman, and this dashed the his hair to the ground, and this big demon came out. And the demon decapitated Daksha, and Daksha had to continue the sacrifice, but at this particular point, he continued the sacrifice with a goat's head. That's quite embarrassing. Imagine going to Havan in the temple and someone's doing your initiation, and he has a goat's head, and that's really a humbling experience. So Lord Shiva, but because Lord Shiva is very kind, he humbles the devotees too. And Krishna also states something in a very similar way. He says, Yashyaham anugrindami harishe tanamshanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away the things that they're attached to so that they can simply become humble and chant with devotion. And here's his description about the time of dissolution. Lord Shiva's hair becomes scattered. He pierces the rulers of the different directions with his trident. You know, in other words, the different demigods get pierced with his trident. He laughs and dances proudly. This is Tandavanrucha, scattering their hands like flags. And thunder scatters with the clouds all over the world. Tandavanrucha, time of devastation. And then descent of the Ganges, we already talked about. Trying to go quickly because we have to get to the dance, Lord Shiva's dance, which is being done by the ladies, not by Lord Shiva. So anyway, so this is some of the pastimes of Lord Shiva. And we should regularly pray to Lord Shiva as a devotee. Sometimes it's mentioned, you know, people quote from the Bhagavad Gita that worship of the demigods is avidhi purvakam. That means it's not the proper process. However, what Krishna means by that particular statement is that to worship the demigods as separate from him, misunderstanding and thinking that the demigods are supreme, whereas they are simply servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasavdavritya. Krishna is the supreme master, Ishvara, controller, and everybody else is his servant, including us. That's what we're supposed to realize. So if one thinks the demigods to be independent or worships the demigods for something mundane, another verse from the Bhagavad Gita is Kamaistaista Ritagana Jnana Prapajante Nyadevata. Those whose knowledge has been stolen by kama, lust, greed, anger, they may worship the demigods. However, we worship the demigods as servants of Krishna. And we please the demigods, especially Lord Shiva, by giving them prasadam. One of the places I do a lot of my work in is Fiji. And the Fiji people are very attached to the demigods. So I can't tell them, stop worshiping the demigods completely. Because if they do that, guess what happens? If they stop worshiping the demigods, their parents will get angry with them. And if they get a little sick or they break a leg, the parents will say, that's because you didn't worship Vayu today. You know, they'll blame everything on that, you know. So everybody gets sick. Everybody, you know, has some physical problems from time to time or fights from time to time. That's normal. Just like the devotees in Ukraine. So therefore, I said, keep worshiping the demigods if you're really attached, your parents are really attached. Put them on a lower level of the altar. And then you offer to Krishna or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then take that prasadam and give it to the demigods. They will be very, very pleased with you in that regard. And you basically, when we start worshiping, this is not about Lord Shiva. There's something I was discussing with someone today. There's this whole group of devotees who wants to open up a temple just to Lord Nrsimhadev near Atlanta. And I said, no, Lord Nrsimhadev is not Patita Pavana. He's Patita Nashana. If you don't know what that means, Patita Pavana means the savior of the most fallen. Patita Nashana means the destroyer of the most fallen. I said, if you open up a temple and you're not qualified to worship Lord Nrsimhadev, I'm going to take a 10-mile detour around that building every time I come there. There's this whole story of when they were, the Stapati, the sculptor, was making the Nrsimha Deity for Srinath Mayapur. Some of you may have heard that story before. He was sculpting this beautiful, beautiful deity of Ugra Nrsimhadev. That means the angry Nrsimhadev. And when he finished, the whole village started to go up in flames. So he calls the devotees. True story. Calls the devotees and says, pick up your deity right away. He's going to destroy everything. So they brought him to Sridhar Mayapur, where Lord Nrsimhadev becomes kinder. So one has to be very careful and not simply worship even an incarnation or expansion of Krishna without the proper procedure, the proper adhikar. Prabhupada actually said Lord Nrsimhadev has to have his separate temple. So it's important that we have some philosophical understanding on how to approach Lord Shiva or any expansion of Krishna. And in this way, we can actually reach our perfection very quickly. But before we can approach anybody nowadays, we have to approach Lord Nityananda and Haribol. So, Lord Nityananda to become free of anartha, so we become qualified to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our process in Kali Yuga, because the Yuga avatar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he teaches the Yuga Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. So our process is to first worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become qualified to engage in any other type of worship. So one has to, and as far as worshiping Lord Shiva, then we take permission from our spiritual master, our teacher, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, before we embark on any type of worship. You know, we may have some sentiment to do different things, but everything has to be authorized in disciplic succession. This is what I was explaining to those devotees, that you may be attached to Lord. I love Lord Nrsimhadev too, but if there's some offenses or improper procedure in worshiping Lord Nrsimhadev or in worshiping Lord Shiva, you may get the opposite result. So one has to be very, very careful. Bandhanvi Savadana Mate. So, with that in mind, hope I didn't scare anybody. With that in mind, we're going to go downstairs. I went 7 minutes more than I was planning to go. One question. Okay, Rishikesh.
I heard that, you know, that in Gomukh, where the source of Ganges in
Ganges, yeah,
the Ganges is split into multiple
streams. So
I heard that it is kind of a jadas of Lord Shiva, you know, the hair of, in a three-dimensional world. Is that correct?
Yes, there's some people who talk like that in Gomukh. That there's different streams. Actually, the Ganges is first present in the heavenly planets. That's called the Mandakini Ganges. And of course, that's the Ganges that Manigriva and Nalakuvara got in trouble in. But the Ganges originally came down when Lord Vamanadeva kicked a hole in the universe, but first in the heavenly planets. But it was such a strong force the Ganges has that Bhagirath was afraid the Ganges would go through the earth planet, so therefore he got Lord Shiva to catch the Ganges.
So is he above the earth planet then, or Lord Shiva, when he catches the Ganges?
Yes. Yeah, he has to be above the planet. And, you know, many people think that they could go to Lord Shiva by, you know, climbing up the Himalayas or something like that. But Lord Shiva is present in an abode that you can't reach. Even any of these demigods, you know, you hear these stories in the Mahabharata or about Madhvacharya, how he climbed up in the Himalayas and saw Srila Vyasadeva and Uttara Badri. But you can't do that because there's a region of the universe that we don't have access to. It's like in a different dimensional plane. So Lord Shiva is situated transcendentally and he's catching the Ganges, as I said, in that way. So I think it's time for the dance. You told me 5:30. That's their problem. I'm a punctual person.
Okay, so thank you so much, Maharaj, for the class, glorifying Lord Shiva. Shri Lord Shiva ki jai. Hari bol. Let's thank Maharaj for the wonderful class. So as Maharaj announced, we'll be proceeding downstairs. And please do not forget, next Saturday, 12th of March, we have a big Rath Yatra in Raleigh downtown as part of St. Patrick's Day Parade. We want everyone to join us. There are going to be like 40,000 people out on the streets. And we need a wonderful presentation, pulling the chariot, Jagannath Rath Yatra chariot. Procession starts at 9:30 a.m. sharp, Raleigh downtown. Devotees can come early. From 8 a.m. onwards, we'll be decorating chariots. So we need help with that. And after procession, we'll have prasadam. So please, everyone, join us this coming Saturday, 12th of March, 9:30 a.m. sharp, the procession starts. Okay? And on 17th of March is Sri Gaur Purnima. Sri Gaur Purnima Mahamohotsav ki jai. So 17th of March, starting at 5 p.m., we'll have a wonderful festival, wonderful drama presentation. Please, everyone.